When you think back to what life was like in, oh, let's say 1910, and what people did for fun, chances are pretty good you conjure up images of ice cream socials, sedate teas, or picnics, all very demure. Well, you would be so wrong. When it came to getting up to creative mischief and taking a walk on the proverbial wild side, it seems that folks at the turn of the 20th century might be able to teach us a thing or two. And you need look no further than the hugely popular steamships. They took tourists from Chicago to South Haven on Michigan's west coast. Historian Larry Massey did exactly that, and the title of his article in last month's Encore magazine says it all, Lake Michigan's Floating Gomorrah. Larry, tell us why steamships like the City of South Haven were floating Gomorrahs.
Well, South Haven itself was very dry. There were no taverns whatsoever. Van Buren County teetotalers had voted under a local option law that the whole county would be about as dry as the surrounding sand dunes. So they couldn't get a drink in South Haven. And this was an era when South Haven was a mecca for tourists, primarily from Chicago. And these great big steamships carried thousands and thousands of passengers back and forth for the resorts of South Haven. And on board, it was totally different from what it was like in South Haven. Anything went. And what had happened was 600 ministers in Chicago had gotten together and had decided they wanted to do something about the social evil in Chicago, where there were prostitutions, red light districts, and all sorts of illegal drinking, underage drinking, and things like that, white slave trade. And so they approached the mayor of Chicago, and he said, well, Chicago's no worse than any other city, but he did allow them to form a vice council and allocated $5,000 for their work in investigating this. Well, I happened to be in an antiquarian bookstore where I do a lot of snooping around, and I saw this volume called The Social Evil in Chicago. Now, what red-blooded lad would not pull down a title like that?
Absolutely.
So I was thumbing through it, probably looking for pictures, which there were none, and I came across a chapter about these ships that were going back and forth from South Haven to Chicago and what was going on in them.
And this we have context, we're talking pretty much turn of the century?
We're talking, the book was published in 1911, the Vice Council was formed in 1910. And that $5,000 they allocated toward hiring a lot of what like today we call them private detectives. They call them investigators.
Undercover.
Undercover. And one of these investigators went aboard five different vessels that went from Chicago to South Haven in the summer of 1910 and made a report of what he or she found. We don't know the name of the investigator because they kept that undercover as well.
Huh. So what kinds of goings-on did these investigators find?
Well, I will read from one of the reports.
Okay.
In stateroom number 66 were four men. Two girls visited the room during the night. In number 61, there was one girl. She was visited by four men at different times. Number 69 was occupied by two girls and two young men. In number 21, three men and three girls were in the lower berth.
Good heavens.
In the bar room, about 20 young girls were drinking beer, five of them not over 12 years of age. One child, 8 years old, was drinking beer with older people.
Huh. Now, it's kind of interesting, as these are being described, very, very detailed, and one has to wonder, how did that investigator find out there were four people in the lower berth? Stick his head in the room? Or
you would wonder. Maybe, I think he or she was prowling the hallways quite a bit.
I would say.
Because later on, even more graphic descriptions.
And certainly not what we'd expect from 1910. Was it, how long was the voyage over?
It took about 5 hours to go from South Haven to Chicago and vice versa.
So a lot of mischief could be gotten up to in those 5 hours.
There was, and you know, there were about five different steamships operating in 1910, and they tried to hide the names of the different steamships, but they gave some internal information which allowed me to realize, hey, this is the city of South Haven, by the number of passengers aboard and the length of the ship and things like that. And during that 5 hours, the city of South Haven in particular had a dance band and a big dance floor, and it had several saloons right on board, so people could have a really good time. They called it the Saturday Evening Mid-Lake Frolic.
The Saturday Evening Mid-Lake Frolic. And it does sound like there was a lot of frolicking going on.
There was a lot of frolicking.
Well, now, could they control, really, with it being out on the lake, what could the Vice Commission do? Or what could
they couldn't do anything, really. There were no regulations for what went on aboard the steamships at that time. But they were worried about Chicago people being influenced by this Bacchanalian revelry that was going on board the ship, and perhaps getting introduced to something that would tempt them.
Okay.
They realized, the investigator reported, that there were prostitutes aboard, that there were men that were looking to kind of coerce women into the white slave trade, become prostitutes. And then there were like innocent couples who were unmarried, had gone over to South Haven for a weekend, and because of the ready atmosphere of all this drinking and the availability of staterooms, that they could be,
tempted
by the devil itself.
So this report was written, and your article, Larry Massey, we're talking with historian Larry Massey, who wrote an article for the November issue of Encore magazine that is entitled Lake Michigan's Floating Gomorrah. Larry, your article seems to draw a pretty direct connection between the findings of the Chicago Vice Commission about these wild times people are having on Lake Michigan and perhaps ultimately the Volstead Act and Prohibition in 1919.
Well, yeah. One of the direct consequences of the publication of this report was Chicago had a big red light district that they had just allowed to happen, you know. Everybody knew about it. The police knew about it, but they just kept it open.
Okay.
The following year, in 1912, they closed it down.
Okay.
However, about a month later, it opened up again. And so periodically, over the next, 20 years, they'd close it down, and it'd be closed for a month or two, and then it'd open up again, back and forth. And then I'm assuming that this volume went through four editions in a year of thousands of copies, and so it was all around, and it had to have had an effect on the temperance movement, and which resulted in 1919 a passage of the Volstead Act, which gave us 15 years of no booze in this country.
And that led to a lot of widespread social ills, such as
the rise of the underworld. Because, let's face it, when you attempt to legislate morality, people are going to find a way around that.
Yeah.
And they certainly did. This was the rum-running era and the speakeasies and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And certainly Detroit had a big part of that, Chicago.
It did.
And anyone who's watching Boardwalk Empire right now, as we are, certainly know, you kind of see that underside of what happened during Prohibition.
Sure.
So I'm kind of curious, as you read all of this and you came to this awareness that these tourists in 1910 and 1911 were going back and forth and having high old times on Lake Michigan, Larry, what do you think this says about what our great-grandparents really were like?
Well, this is the kind of thing that didn't get put in print very often, what people were really like. But you can read between the lines. And let's face it, Cynthia, people are people. And you can read the Bible and find out that the biblical characters were influenced by the same sorts of things that we are, and
yeah.
The people in Shakespeare and the people in the 19th century. And so this just shows that everybody is a human being, and the human nature will out.
It will. It certainly will. Well, ultimately, what was the fate of the steamships going back and forth? When did this kind of die out?
Well, I'm not sure when the iniquity died out, but
it may not have yet.
Yeah, there's still yachts going out.
That's right.
Well, the steamships continued to run until the 1930s, and then because of the automobile more or less run them out of business, and so you don't see these big palatial steamers capable of carrying 3,000 people anymore.
Now we just fly to Miami and take a cruise
right,
and go
right.
from there. Larry Massey is the author. Fascinating article in the November 2012 issue of Encore, Lake Michigan's Floating Gomorrah. Thanks for talking with us, Larry.
Thank you, Cynthia.
And you can find a link to Larry's story. It's fascinating reading. Just go to our website at michiganradio.org.